Good evening, everybody. So today I'm joined with Paddy Casey. He is a singer-songwriter and recording artist from Dublin. After receiving his first guitar at the age of 12, Paddy got his big break 12 years later when Sony offered Paddy a recording contract. You're very welcome onto the show, Paddy. It's an honour to be interviewing somebody so talented.
Hello, Ciara. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, Paddy, tell us, whereabouts in Ireland are you from?
I'm from Dublin, Crumlin, in the south side of Dublin, which is it's kind of the, I don't know, probably the coolest part of Dublin, actually, if you ask anyone.
Yeah, I lived in Crumlin.
No, I'm from Crumlin. Who have we got? We've got Phil Inna. We've got a couple of boxers and a football player. So we've got...
That's right, McGregor. Is he from Crumlin as well? Conor McGregor?
Supposedly from Crumlin. I think he is. I think he was there when he was younger, and then I think he moved somewhere else, did he? Maybe.
I'm not sure. Possibly did. I don't follow Conor McGregor. No offense, Conor, if you're listening to this, but we'll try get him on the show, actually.
Yeah, I think he was there. He definitely went to Crumlin Boxing Club.
Okay. Yeah, I knew there was some...
Actually, I might be wrong about that.
I know.
I'm not a connoisseur. I watched the documentary, actually. Thought it was good, but I don't know much else about him, to be honest.
I haven't. I know where he gets his haircut. That's about it. The old county barber shop in Clondalkin. He gets his hair. Well, he used it. Yeah. Oh, then maybe we're getting it mixed up. So tell me this. I'm originally from Clondalkin. I did live in Crumlin. I lived in Windmill many years ago. When I lived there, there wasn't many opportunities for me growing up. I lived there for quite some time.
Are you from there?
I'm originally from Clondalkin, but I moved from Clondalkin when I was... No. I moved from Clondalkin when I was a kid. I was probably 14 and then I moved to the country. In the midst of that, I moved to Crumlin. So what was it like growing up there? Was there a music family? Was there people that inspired you there?
No, we didn't have a lot of music, but my dad used to sing when he was drunk, you know. So I don't know if that counts as a musical family. I think my granddad sang some songs, and my granny's family had a bunch of stuff. They had like a lot of Irish stuff and, you know, some kind of 60s stuff. And in our house, I think we'd like three or four tapes. We had the Dubliners for Sundays. We had, what else did we have? We had Chris de Burgh, I think, was one of them. And Supertramp. One of my brothers had a Supertramp album. And yeah. And then my brother came of age, the brother next up for me, and he started collecting music, and he got a great collection together, I think so.
I never heard of the last band that you're talking about, Supertramp.
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 Oh, Supertramper. You have heard Supertramp. You just don't know you've heard them, so.
I love it. You say things with conviction.
There are times when all the world's asleep, the questions run so deep. For such a simple man.
It sounds
when I was
like...
young, I thought that life was so magical. You do know it.
I know that one.
Yeah, you do.
I only know the rave version back in the rave days.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I didn't know I knew that. So you had a brother that inspired you then. Was it your brother?
My brother Bruno started collecting music. He was really good at collecting music. He was kind of the oddball in Crumlin who had a really good music collection, you know? So he might have, you know, in some way got me more into music, because before that, I think I was more into hurling. I was a hurler.
No
way. It was
the
only thing I was good at, I think.
I would have never put you down as a hurler. Very good. My brothers will be listening to this today, and they love hurling. So does my father.
Oh, yeah. I was never without a hurl in my hand for a while.
Do you ever go and play hurling now?
No, I think I'd get killed now if I gave it another go. I haven't done it. See, as soon as I got the guitar, I kind of started playing all day, every day. And then I kind of started going busking. So, yeah, that was the end of my hurling.
Is it really difficult? I mean, does it take a lot of confidence to get out and start busking? Or is it less? Do you kind of care more or care less when you're busking because you're just doing it for maybe a bit of pocket money? You're not afraid of being judged?
Well, no, to be honest, at the time, I kind of left home as well. I was done with living at home. So I went busking, so I was doing it for a living. But I was staying, my brother got a flat and I stayed with him for a while and stuff. And then I met this guy who was roughly, because I was pretty young, like I was like 13, maybe 12 when I started. I was pretty young, you know. I can't remember exactly what it was because my brain stopped working a few years ago. But he was the same age as me, this guy called Colin, that the two of us decided that. Well, actually, I had gone to Galway for a while. And so I came back from Galway and I met him. And I went, there's this magical place called Galway. We should go. And the two of us went and we lived there for a couple of years. So we just kind of traveled around from very young busking.
And you're right, Galway is very magical. Every time I go.
At the time, it was great. It was amazing, you know.
It is. And they still welcome Irish singers and songwriters into their pubs. You always get good music in Galway.
I don't spend enough time there anymore, actually. I should go down for a few weeks or something, you know.
Oh, are you touring then around Ireland at the moment or are you touring the UK?
I'm always gigging. I've been gigging since then, you know.
So, you don't stop.
I haven't really stopped.
There's one thing that really, I was just listening to your music before we got on and Saints and Sinners, okay, you probably have been asked it 1,000 times, but every time you sing it, I've watched you sing it on The Late Late Show, I've watched you sing it on a different platform, I've probably watched about 5 or 6 before we started tonight, and I just feel every time you sing it, it's like the first time you're singing it. How do you do that? I mean, you must have played that song 1,000s.
I think that might be your brain. That might not be my brain.
Oh, it's just so beautiful. Honestly, I've studied this before we got on. It's just... Yeah. Like it's your first time, you sing every word with your heart.
I mean, I think with music, you don't play the songs you don't really want to play, you know. That was a rule I always set myself busking as well. I find it weird, like I know, look, I'm not giving out, but I find it weird that kids are busking, but they're using iPads because like, if you don't know the song and love the song, why are you playing it? But that's just a weird thing. That was just a weird thing from back then, I suppose.
It's a different generation.
The day I stopped liking singing, but I think with Saints and Sinners for me, it's great because like, I don't even really think about the song that much because it's just what happens when I play it at gigs is amazing. Anyway.
The
whole room kind of lifts and it's amazing. So I like, it doesn't even matter. I could be singing the alphabet and I wouldn't give a shit. It just feels good to sing in anyway because of what's going on in the room, you know?
And when you're
I mean, if I don't like a song, I'll stop playing it, you know?
Yeah, well, that's understandable. When you're not playing music, what songs do you play, like to listen and inspire you? What do you...
Oh, God, that's a mad question.
You're famous now. You can't say that without upsetting half of Ireland.
Who do I love? Jesus. I used to be a big... massive Prince fan. I think I still am, but not, you know, I don't listen to him as much as I used to. I mean, I love the Velvet Underground. I still listen to quite a lot of old stuff. There's a few new kids on the block that I love as well. I like your man
Dermot.
Tyler the Creator. He's kind of a rap guy. I don't know if you know him. He's really good.
I'm so bad. I don't watch the news and I barely watch TV. In fact, before we did the interview, I was like, I know your name. I've known it for years. I know that you're a big part of Ireland. But to rekindle the memory, I had to listen to a song. Okay, Saints and Sinners. Then I realized that I knew most of your songs that you sang. And I just thought, wow, I can put a face to this.
Yeah, well, look, that's fine.
I've never heard
your music before. It's grand.
It's not that. It's honestly, if you ask any of my friends, even my father, he always goes crazy at me because he'll say something is on the news and I don't watch it. I remember when the thing with Maddie was on and the whole world were talking about it. I was cutting somebody's hair and he said, oh, it's so sad about that girl. I said, what girl? He said, are you serious? You don't know. And, you know, so that's not you. That's me. I don't watch TV, but I'm absolutely obsessed with your music. I love it. Absolutely love it. And it brought me back to my childhood. I used to listen to some of the songs. Saints and Sinners, what is it about?
It's sadder than it sounds and I don't really want to say it. It kind of started out as a slow song, actually. It was kind of... And I sent it to my record label. They didn't really get it. And it was kind of slow. And it wasn't slow, but it wasn't the way it wasn't as upbeat as it is. It's kind of like, I mean, it's just about, it's kind of, it's just a nod to homeless, being homeless and how easy it is to end up.
That's what I got from the first line. That's what I thought.
I thought it was obvious, but I thought people then kind of just thought it was a love song or something. I don't know what.
But do you know why that is? And I always get this with musicians. People listen to how it makes them feel. So whatever vibration they're on and how the music is making them feel, they're not listening to the lyrics. And I'm so obsessed with lyrics, words, and I understand things, and I'll always, my husband calls me, he says, you've some sort of genius mindset, but he said, I don't know what you can use it for. You can just recall lyrics no matter where or what they're from. A song that I've heard 10 years ago, I'll be able to recall lyrics because in my head I'm playing the story, you know, of each verse. So yeah, I really love that song. And yeah, if I ever die, I want you to sing it at my funeral. And anyone that's listening, Paddy has just agreed. He's just given me the nod here. You can't see, but he said he will.
I'll be gone before you now.
Oh, don't say that. Two good ones.
Male and Irish. You don't have that long.
I love the fact that you still have your Irish accent.
Women in Ireland always live way longer than I think.
Because they put the stress on the husbands.
Is it?
I think so, yeah. I think so. I think the old Ireland, yeah, I think.
I think it's just because all the shit they have to deal with, they get a few years afterwards just to relax. I think that's kind of my take on it, you know.
Well, men, I've had this discussion with a neuroscientist last week. I sound very, very well there, but he was explaining, but men think analytically and women think with emotion. So when you're thinking of something, if you listen to one of my podcasts, he gets into detail about this, but basically men will take something that's real black and white. They'll, like, if your partner turns around and says, oh, hug me, or don't hug me, it really means hug me, and you've just listened to what she said, put it in the box, went and not hugged her, and she's having her big crazy moment saying, well, why hasn't he hugged me, and goes to her friends and gives out stink about you, and you're oblivious of what has actually happened. Women are very, very unusual creatures. Very unusual. So, Paddy.
I'll get one someday.
You'll get one someday? Aw. If there's any singles out there, Paddy Casey's looking to find love.
You're not going there.
You'll probably get loads of hits. So tell me this. How has fame affected your life?
I mean, I remember, well, like when living was, I mean, now it's perfect. Look, because no one gives a shit anymore, so it's great. Like, I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, but obviously, there was times when, like, it was kind of, you know, you were kind of, it was hard to relax, I suppose, or whatever. You didn't have any time. You didn't have a day to yourself or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Is it because your face was all over Irish TV?
Yeah, but also because, you know, I was with a label and I kind of, they kept me working a lot, and not in a bad way. I mean, I did the work I wanted to do. It wasn't there. They weren't beating me with a stick. Like, it was just, yeah. I think it's nicer now to do the gigs I want to do and the rest of the time work on new stuff or do whatever, you know? So it's nicer to not be famous.
Well, you're still very much famous, but what's happening is you're allowing yourself to work and gig and do the things that you want to do independently. I have a friend who's a fantastic photographer, and he says the same thing, you know, like if he brings out something, everybody knows his pictures, you know, everyone wants it. But then when he's not doing that creative work or that line, he's not in the limelight anymore. And sometimes that's a nice breather. You know,
I watched the video of Dua Lipa yesterday, right? I'm not comparing. I know she's like whatever. She's way bigger than whatever. But I just think I just saw this video of her, and she came out on the street to do something, and she was having the crack, like doing this little thing. But then she realized that people had started noticing it was her or whatever, and then she just ran because that's what it's like. Like, she could literally just can't hang out in the street or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's
like
scary.
That's a shit life, if you ask me. Like, it's kind of,
yeah.
People going through your bins is a shit life.
Oh my God, people go through people's bins?
How do you go through your bins? People show up in your garden and hang around your windows sometimes. Not in a long time, but they used to, you know.
Oh my God, that's a little bit too weird. Look,
it is. I think it's kind of, it's not, whatever. I mean, you're part of that thing, but I think when you get your time back, you're just like, thank God for that. You know?
Did you ever consider changing your identity and changing your hair color?
Because I was never that. To be honest, I only had like a touch of, you know, whatever. So it was, to me, it was like, well, that's enough of that.
We won't.
But the gigs, I love the gigs. You know, the gigs are amazing now. Like, and I think it's because, yeah, I think everyone who wants to be there is there now. You know,
well, because of your I know when I get people on, they don't like to use when I'm saying, oh, the levels of success or fame. So let's just say your career. D- Do you not be gigging at pubs and women are just throwing themselves to you because of what you mean to Irish people and for the music that you produce?
I think the people who come to my gigs are older now, so they're not really their husbands are usually with them or whatever, you know. And even if they're in the other area, I don't know. No. No, it used to happen a little bit, but no, I'm not. I was never that famous, I don't think, you know.
And what about Crumlin?
There was a few stalkers, but no.
There's nothing wrong with a stalker. Listen, we're in the 21st century. It's perfectly normal to pick up Instagram and go through your ex's profile without feeling like a stalker. Just for any of the listeners out there.
I don't know. I'm
joking.
Yes.
Do you ever gig in Crumlin anymore?
Do you know what? I've done a few charity things in Crumlin. There isn't really a venue in Crumlin. I've always wanted to play actually near where you grew up. There's a place called the Mission Hall. And I did my first time I ever sang in front of people was in the Mission Hall. And I've always kind of wanted to do that again. Hall is on Cashel Road, which was kind of, maybe you didn't know, maybe you were Windmill, were you? Or
Windmill. I was Windmill, but I mean, it was a base. I was like you. I moved from quite a young age.
Okay.
And I moved
there. There's a place on Cashel Road called the Mission Hall. And it was like a community hall or whatever. It wasn't very big. Well, I kind of always just for nostalgia, I'd love to do a gig there, you know.
Aww.
I don't even know if it's still there, if it still does stuff. I've seen the building is still there because every time I go to town, I drive through Crumlin just for the crack. I just drive past my house just to see it again, you know.
Oh, I tried to do that with my house in Clondalkin, and I just every time I did it 3 times since I moved, and every time I went, I just cried. You'd bump into somebody, and it'd be an old neighbour that'd tell you another neighbour died. And the 3 times that I went, the 3 times I came out crying. So I decided not to do it anymore. My life was a little bit more happier then when I went to Crumlin. We used to have parties, different stage of my life. So tell me this: how many albums have you made, and how many songs have you written?
I've written a lot of songs that I've never done anything with, but the last album I did was a double album that had 25 songs on it, I think.
Wow. How long does it take to make an album like that?
Well, that took a few years, but it wasn't really that it took a few years. It was just that COVID knocked a few years onto it, you know? So
yeah.
So in the end, I gave in. I just did it just because we didn't know if COVID was ever going to end, you know? So I just
that must
did
have been
it,
scary yeah. for your career. I mean, okay, well, yeah, you could.
To be honest, it was kind of crap, but it was also kind of nice to have an excuse not to do anything because you knew everyone else. Although, actually, it turns out a lot of people went back to work and stuff, but musicians, we couldn't go back to work. But it turned out everyone else was doing nothing, so there was no one to be jealous of or, you know, everyone else is just sitting in their houses. So, like, I did other stuff. I wrote stuff and, like, you know, I tried to. I wasn't very good at the online thing. I don't think it suited me. If I can't smell people, I don't, you know,
like that analogy. If I can't smell people.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not a real gig.
You feed and thrive off people around you. Yeah.
So.
Have you ever got.
The COVID thing kind of, was scary at first. But then once, you know. The banks kind of made it so I didn't have to pay the mortgage for a while or whatever, you know, all that crack. And so once you figured out that, you know, it's going to be shit for a while, but you have all this free time. And I wrote a musical. I wrote stuff I'd never done in a million years, you know. So stuff I'd never given myself time to do, I suppose, you know.
Well,
I think lots of people did that, so.
You were going through heartache as well. I just read briefly in one of the, just before your album. Is it like Adele? Did you get 3 or 4 albums out of the heartbreak? Or
no, that album, that's why it's the double album, because one side is like the breakup and the other one isn't the breakup. So
I often say to people, I'm a huge Adele fan, but I often say I don't blame the husbands leaving because she's got 3 albums out of one husband. She's still talking about her breakup. So I would be devastated if my partner was singing about their ex.
No, I'm not that bad. I mean, it's kind of hidden a little bit, but, you know, the songs are there. So.
Oh, well, they're deep. They're
I'm
deep.
Not calling anyone an asshole, you know.
I'm just going to sing to my guitar and tell you how I feel and pretend it's nothing to do with you, Mary.
Yeah, exactly. Now, who are you? I never met you before in my life. So.
So you can't get sued.
I don't know. I try not to put people in too much if I can help it. Because I like you, I'd hate the idea of somebody writing something about me in a weird way.
Yeah. But then you have to also embrace the fact that it's where you are or where you were back then. And when I was writing a book, I would speak and I'd be in a moment of that chapter that it's probably a moment like yourself. Sometimes you wish you didn't have that chapter in your life, but you're writing it down because you want to be as honest as you can writing the book. Then and you might have a little cry. Then a few days later, you might come back and just read over the chapter and you're in a different headspace because you're not reliving it, but you're reading what you've just written, which is all truth. And you think, oh, shit, I don't want to take that off or I don't want to put that in. But I made myself keep stuff in my book purposely because that was the truth. That was my truth. And I have to live it and own it, you know? And people like...
Yeah, I mean, there's a degree of that. I mean, the truth will set you free and all that, you know.
Probably get sued if I start
I mean, I do. I would definitely, I'd rose tint a few things in my life, I think, you know.
That's okay.
Only actually, to the point where I've completely forgotten some shit that actually did. Sorry, I keep cursing, but...
Okay, we're on Irish.
Yeah, no, so I will definitely keep some secrets to my grave.
Really?
I'd say so, yeah. I'm definitely not. I'm kind of like, I'm open, but I've also got some mad stuff in my head that I just will never tell anyone.
Oh my God, we're going to
have
to
get Paddy drunk. Maybe I should, because you know what? We all do, I think, you know. And it's only something you start to realize as you get older. Like, you know, everybody. You think you're a kind of a, you think you're like mad, and if anyone ever finds out the truth when you're a kid, you know, that they'll lock you up, you know, in some ways.
No, it's not. I would listen to one of your lyrics there. I don't even know what song it was. And one of the lyrics, what was it saying? Oh my God. But just like what you said there, you're like, you think you're weird, but the world is weirder. Or did you know it's the word is weird? I can't remember what it was, but I literally just listened.
I don't know which one you're getting at there. So
it was like, did you know how weird the world was? But you think, look, if you don't know your own song here, Paddy.
I think I know what you're getting at, but I'm
yeah, well, anyway, I've listened to it and that's exactly what came into my head of you just sitting there looking at the world and looking at someone and thinking,
well,
that is
true,
you're weird.
You know.
Well, everybody thinks that a bit.
You don't know that when you're young, you kind of, you know.
When you're young, you want to be like everyone else, Paddy. You want to be a sheep. You want to fit in.
But I also you're in a headspace where you're like, if anyone ever kind of knew the mad thoughts in your head or whatever, you know, you'd be like,
You are not your thoughts. Isn't that what they teach
you? No, but this is just a mistake you make when you're a kid, I think, you know?
Well, it is, absolutely. And particularly, I'm very spiritual. And if I won't go into it because we're on radio, but I'll tell you another time. But if you, never mind, I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. But yes, I understand what you're saying. But no, everyone goes to that stage. And like I said, people want to fit into a box when they're growing up. It's when you get older that you just want to stand out and be out.
The other day, actually, what was I reading? Oh no, I'm reading it's actually a comic book and it's called I Love Monsters and it's really good.
It's so creative.
It's a little girl. Yeah, it's just a little girl and she imagines she's a monster and then she's like, yeah, she explains the word monster. Actually, I can't. Do you know what? I should go and get the book and come back. I can't remember. It's too good a quote to mess it up. But there's this comic called I Love Monsters and it's kind of this little girl's kind of story or whatever.
Do me a favor, when we finished here tonight, send me the quote because it sounds absolutely crazy.
Yeah. You can put it on the podcast.
I'll put it on the podcast. Paddy's famous quote.
It was definitely a good one for like, I was like, I wish I was that clever when I was that age or whatever, you know. So
sometimes it's just thinking out of the box and using your own imagination. But you know, as my friend would say, creativity has been pushed out of people from when they're young and when they're in schools, you know, because they know how powerful it is. I went on a spiritual retreat years ago and I took ayahuasca, which is a spiritual plant medicine, and when I tell you, it opens up every sense that you didn't even know you had. You will never look at the world the same again. It's mind-blowing. Was there ever a time, Paddy, that you felt you wanted to come away from music and start a different career?
Not even slightly, no.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I don't see the point, you know, like it's one of the best jobs in the world to have, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, it takes a long time to kind of, you have to put a lot of hours in and whatever, but it's a great job. There's no, you know.
What's the biggest challenge?
It's a bit trickier now for people. Like, I'm glad I'm not starting now. Like, it's really hard for kids to make a living out of it.
Why is that? I thought it was easier for them now because they have all their social media. Yeah. They can get
this. People are giving them donations on the internet or something. I don't know how they're making a living, you know.
Spotify?
Some people do well busking. No, God, Spotify is the biggest ripoff that ever
happened. Are you serious?
Spotify is the worst thing that ever happened to music, ever. Except it's spread music around, you know. I mean, you get to listen to... What?
Had a discount. It's spreading it around at a discount.
Oh, no, nobody makes money off Spotify. The only people who make money off Spotify are big labels and a few hand-picked artists.
Wow.
No, nobody makes money off. Spotify has killed in the
industry,
the way people used to make money anyway. Yeah.
What happens if you just have a cold or you are sick and you just can't perform? Like, I'm smothering with a cold, which is probably why you're wondering why I have a scarf on. I'm absolutely smothered with a cold the last 3 or 4 days. But if you were to get sick, what do you do? Do you just tell your thousands of fans?
A few times. I mean, I think I've missed like 4 gigs, 5 gigs in my life from just no voice. Like, you're sick is fine. No voice, you can't. There's nothing you can do about it, you know? So,
do you know this podcast?
Sure. You know, a lot of people in the music business, like, would actually have a backing tape just in case they lose their voice.
Wow.
Because to actually, the cost of cancelling a gig is way worse than, you know.
Oh, really? Oh, I suppose, yeah. And then you have a lot of...
Like in big gigs, I'm talking about like Crow Park or whatever, or, you know. They'll have a backing tape rather than cancel a gig. So there you go.
Ooh, we'd have to get a hologram in and of the star. Okay. Pretend to see.
So I mean, personally, it doesn't happen very, very often, but it has happened a few times where you just can't sing and there's nothing you can do about it, you know.
Look at Lewis Capaldi. He made me cry when he was singing and his voice went because of his Tourette's. My husband has Tourette's syndrome and I didn't even know Lewis Capaldi had it. And when I heard him sing and seeing humanity, oh, wow, I love that clip. Paddy, you know the way this is a new podcast and you know the way we both lived in Crumlin and you're Irish and I'm Irish and I'm a nice person and you're a nice person. You know the way Saints and Sinners is a song that you know off by heart without looking at the lyrics. Can I have a little bit so I can always say Paddy Casey sang to me on...
Really? Can I do it with a guitar?
Yeah, you can do it with a guitar. There's 6:32 on our timer. So if it cuts off, it's worth it. Just a little bit.
Yeah. 6:32, what is that what you have left?
Yeah, you have 6:14 now. It's just the
path. You edit all this nonsense out.
Yeah, I can edit all this if I need to edit it, but I think your voice is beautiful, so I don't think you'll need to edit it.
No, I mean this, getting the guitar out, all this stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, you can do that. Yeah. Here with this part.
So why not?
Dedicated to Ciara McNamee.
Oh, yeah. Is there even a podcast? Sister Rouge. Are you the stalker?
Well, I have your number now, Paddy.
My last stalker in the world. The last stalker on here. Okay, what do you want? A chorus and a verse? Or?
Saints and Sinners.
I don't know if you'll hear this because Zoom is kind of terrible for me sound.
But I'll just cancel it out of the podcast if I can.
I can actually change the sound so it works better. Will I do that?
Yeah, go for it.
Microphone. I can just do it. I'll just change the sound really quickly.
All right.
Oh, no. Do I have to leave to do it? Shit. Hang on. No, here's preferences here. Settings. Audio.
If it doesn't work, you can just send it to me on WhatsApp. It's fine.
I'll just... There you go. It might be better.
We have Paddy Casey singing Saints and Sinners.
Anyone can lose it all. Anyone can lose it all. You don't heed your warning call. Well, anyone can lose it all. Is terrible for sound, so
it doesn't matter. That's absolutely brilliant, everybody. That's Paddy Casey.